You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor. I know you love that, from a beautiful, magnificent, awesome Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful that you've joined me today from all over the globe. Let me see. New Zealand, Canada, South America. Where else did I get an email from? From Europe, from a lady in Iceland, and of course, my faithful listeners in the U.S. And if you're listening to this recording, the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can have a spiritual encounter and receive the answers, the revelation, the insight that you've been praying and searching for. And that, as I always say, all it takes is one word, one revelation, one insight. You just one conversation away from, or one contact away from, a large door of opportunity opening for you. Well, I hope that you are having a great day. It is indeed a beautiful day here in Atlanta. It is summertime and the living is easy. We have just had some extremely hot weather, but we're supposed to, right? Because it is summertime. Well, I'm excited about my very special guest today, Dawn Mitchell. And Dawn is an author, and she's going to be talking about seven spiritual keys to strengthen resilience in the midst of a job loss, career transition, or professional setback. So if any of you are in that particular circumstance or situation, or you know someone, or you know that there's something more for you in the area of your career, I want you to stay tuned. But before I speak with Dawn, I want to, let's say, thank you for all of the emails that I've received. I have received so many emails about my interviews with Gary D. Hines and Will Downing. So if you have not listened to those, you've got to go back. They're really powerful. And additionally, I have over 360 archived shows that you can listen to. One of my listeners sent me an email, and she said she was having a Constance Marathon weekend. So you can do that. And of course, you can go to LAAradionetwork.com and you can listen so many ways via Blog Talk, Stitcher, iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn. You know, the choice is yours. Additionally, I just want to thank you for your donations. I know this show is shifting, changing, nurturing, what else? Guiding, giving direction to your life. And you can go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and click the red donate button. And I'm thanking you in advance for that donation. And while you're there, check out my coaching services. I'm currently coaching clients on five continents. And I guess the question that I get so many times is, well, I live in Europe. I'm like, no problem. I think that the furthest client that I have lives in New Zealand, and we make it work. So sometimes I will coach my clients who live in Australia, New Zealand, all the way across the world on the weekends. But, you know, distance is not a problem. We can FaceTime, we can Skype, we can audio Skype, but most people like the video Skype, and I love to see your beautiful face. And so one of my clients just this week, She reported that she has lost 32 pounds. She said, "Constance, all four of my intentions and my dreams have come true." She lost 32 pounds. She got a new car, and the car note is exactly what she wanted. She went on a romantic trip with her hubby to Jamaica, and she got a big promotion with a new position in HR at a different company. And I said to her, "Do you realize the entire landscape of your life has changed? Not to mention the transformation that has taken place on the inside of her. So while you are there, just take a look at my coaching." And I guess I want to talk a little bit about my tip for the week. And I think I want to talk about how to remain peaceful during difficult times. I haven't really talked about this a lot, but you know, there is so much going on in the world, both in the U.S. and abroad. We all know that. And all of the images on TV really impact us. And it really shows us that we really need to pray for this world. And so how can you remain peaceful when you're looking and experiencing what other people are going through in other countries over and over again? And I'm going to say that I believe the balance is being knowledgeable and not overloading. I know recently here in the U.S., when they had the shooting of the five policemen, I was just glued to the TV, and I should have gained that knowledge, but I realized that it was impacting me. And I know a lot of people in Europe, a lot has been going on there and in other places. And so, you know, I believe that you really need to be aware of your eye, ear, and mouth gate, and how those three areas shape our lives. So what do I mean by that? Your eye, whatever you continually see, your ear, whatever you continually hear, and your mouth, whatever you continually say out of your mouth, really impacts your life. And so I believe that you have to really guard your heart. Proverbs, I got that out, 4:23 said, "Guard your heart or your spirit, for everything you do flows from it." And so the word guard is a powerful word. And I think that that's the Spirit saying to us that, hey, we need to really limit what we see, what we hear, and what comes out of our mouth. And so during times like these, what can you do? You can focus in on and think about a better world for yourself, because we already know that we have lots of self-talk, right? I don't have time for that, but all day long, we're really having a conversation with ourselves. And we are really creating our circumstances and our world by our inner conversations. And we've all heard, and I've said it before, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he or she. And so what's happening is, as we look at all of these things that's going on, that you're thinking follows the tracks and it lays down in your own inner conversations. And so we've got to really watch what our self-talk is. We've got to watch what we're looking at, and we need to watch what we're hearing and what comes out of our mouth. So I believe that a person's mental conversations, that means that that's all the conversations that are going on the inside, really attracts his life. And as long as there's no change in the inner talking, that the personal history of that person remains the same. And so let's focus in on a better world for ourselves and a better world for others. And the Bible talks about be imitators of God. And what did God do? God called things that were not as though they were. And so I think that we need to begin to call forth that this is a peaceful world, you know, that we send love out. We need to call forth love and peace and unity. And so remember your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. So you can literally begin to speak out loud and create collective consciousness just globally. When you change your own world, you literally change in the world of others. And so that's why I think it's just so important that you do that. And there's a great example of that where a bunch of people got together globally and they all said, we're going to pray at noon. Or they set aside a specific time when they were going to pray and meditate for peace. And during that time, they would focus in on one city. And, you know, the crime rate in that city decreased dramatically. And folks, that's just how powerful we are. And so if we would all begin to focus in on love, on unity, on what's possible, and wherever you live, you know, whatever area of influence you have, just begin to do good in that particular area. And so, and just watch what comes over out of your mouth. I was somewhere and I was in a store and the TV was on and somebody said, isn't it terrible what's going on in the world? And I just refused to partake of that conversation. And I said, you know, I believe that God created us as powerful human beings or spiritual beings, and that we can shift and change what we believe can happen to this world, and that we can all come together. And a great example of that would be Mother Teresa. They came to Mother Teresa and they said, Mother Teresa, do you want to join the war on poverty? And she said, no, I do not. When you start an abundance movement, then come back to me. I thought that was so cool of her because she realized that whatever you give your attention to, you create more of that. And so begin to just be peaceful in your own life. Be peaceful in your own thinking. Be peaceful in your own world, in your own city. And if we all just begin to do that, because, you know, all change begins on the inside first. If we all begin to change our own worlds and live in a place of peace, it will really vibrate out to the universe. And the last thing I'm going to say before we go to these commercials is that the Bible says that God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee or spirit. And so God will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is on God or good, when our mind is on love. The Bible says whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of a good report. Think on those things. And so this week, I want you to remain peaceful by just taking some of the info that I just shared and implement it into your own life. I got that out. So we're going to these quick commercials, and then I'm going to be right back with Dawn. So stay tuned.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's The Science Behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Well, I am back and I'm really excited about my guest today. And as I said in my intro, we're going to be talking about how to shift and change your career. So my very special guest is Don Mitchell. And Don is an encourager, teacher, best-selling author, and dynamic speaker. And she helps and inspires professionally soar to new heights in life and business. She is founder and chief executive advisor of the Corporate Couch. We're going to let her explain that more in detail in a few minutes. She has more than 20 years of combined experience in corporate America, so she knows and understands certainly what that environment is like. Also, Don is the Amazon number one best-selling co-author of the book Shift, 20 Women Share Stories of Strength, Courage, and Succeeding Against the Odds. And she has a new book coming out in a couple of months, Light After a Layoff, 7 Spiritual Keys to Strengthen Resilience in the Midst of Job Loss, Career Transition, or a Professional Setback. So, Don Mitchell, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Wow, thank you for that amazing introduction. And thank you for having me, Constance.
You're welcome. So what great city are you calling from?
I am calling you from The Woodlands, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston, Texas.
Well, you know, Don, I met you in Orlando, and I was so impressed with you. You and I both spoke at a conference, and I had been thinking about you coming on my show. And then just one morning during my meditation, the spirit just said, Don Mitchell. And I think it was early a.m. and I emailed you, and here we are. And we know that everybody who's on my show, that is really the divine timing of God so that you can share all of this great information about job loss, about those people who may be feeling underemployed, people who know that they should switch and change, or who might be right in the middle of career transition. So how in the world did you become interested in this subject, and what made you entitle the book A Light After a Layoff?
Well, I got to tell you a little bit about my story and my background. I was in corporate America. I had a great job. I was the Oprah of this particular Fortune 500 company. You know, I got to go and pass out the checks on behalf of the company, represent the company at luncheons and dinners, and I got to coordinate all the picnics and all the touchy-feely stuff. Great job. But there was something inside of me saying that there was more. I was being asked to do more. And my job, it just wasn't fulfilling to me. My spirit started to become larger than my gray cubicle. So after much prayer, much prayer and contemplation, I knew I couldn't quit my job without hearing a directive from God. And so I was waiting on that. And so I prayed a lot. And then I finally did. I got this directive. I remember being on a plane. I was going from Cleveland to San Antonio. And I was looking out the window and I was crying because I was anticipating Monday morning coming around again and anticipating the being uncomfortable and having to shrink down again and fit into that gray cube. And I said, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? Because this isn't it. And then I heard the directive that I was to turn my letter of resignation in on that following Monday. Now, I was happy that I finally heard from God. I finally got that directive. But at the same time, I was a little bit anxious because my bank account, I didn't feel was ready for that move.
Right.
But I went on and I turned that letter of resignation in, and the Holy Spirit had directed me to date that letter for 1 month out. Usually you give a 2 weeks notice. I gave a 1 month notice. I didn't understand it at the time. But when I turned my letter of resignation in, I told my boss, I said, I am stepping out on faith, which is really unheard of in the corporate environment. So it took about 2 weeks for my story of stepping out on faith to circulate around the company. And after about 2 weeks' time, people started coming to me saying, hey, Dawn, I heard about your story of faith. How do I get a relationship with God like that? And when that happened, when I started to realize that my story of stepping out on faith from corporate America was being used to inspire other people, I knew that something greater than me was at work. So in doing that, when I left that job, it began a 7-year process of learning about what faith really is. Because from that point, I went through so many ups and downs. I went through, just so many things, losing things, finding things, having a lot, having a little, but really finding myself and finding out who I was in God.
Right.
And over that time, I learned so many lessons. And I wanted to, over time, after a long time, be able to give those lessons back to other people, other professionals who feel that they have lost their way, who feel like they don't have purpose, like they want to make a change, or who have been laid off. I was feeling called to share the lessons that I experienced with them.
Well, you know, I read your book and it's really powerful. So we're speaking to people all over the world, Dawn, and they might be in different situations. And so we're talking to people in the middle of job loss or feel underemployed like you did, or right in the middle of a career transition, or feel like there has been a professional setback. So how do you define laid off? What does that mean?
I define being laid off as being involuntarily severed from anything. Okay. So anything that you relied upon for your existence, it could be a job. You could be laid off from a relationship. You could be laid off from a situation in your health, or maybe you've lost a loved one even. Now, I'm specifically attacking this in terms of job loss,
right.
But it's anything that you've been involuntarily severed from. And a lot of people have regarded that job as their life. It was actually God to them. So when you feel like you've been cut off from something that you relied upon for your very life source, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, it's really difficult, and for listeners, I can really relate to it, because when I resigned from my position in 1999, when I signed the resignation papers in HR, my hand was shaking, because we're taught from childhood that our job is our source and our paycheck. And so we're looking to that. So a lot of things are transpiring in the lives of people when they're in the middle of a transition. And I love it that you say 7 spiritual keys, because a lot of companies help people with resume writing and how to interview. But boy, 7 spiritual keys to strengthen resilience is very powerful.
Yes, I felt that there was a void You know, there, like you said, there's so many resources out there for helping people with everything from LinkedIn to interviewing to all kinds of things. But what I found is people are missing that spiritual key because, again, they don't know who they are, or they believe that that job or that title is them. So I felt that there was a void that I could fill in writing this book. So I said, okay, if I can provide seven spiritual keys, then I think we can round out the whole package. Now, I do help people with a resume and interviewing skills and LinkedIn and all of that as well in terms of career transition. But we have to focus on that spiritual piece because the likelihood that a person is going to lose a job or get laid off again in the future is quite great. But you don't want to lose your identity every time the job comes and goes. That thing cannot control you. We've given too much power to that thing. Okay. But if we know who we are from the inside out, if we know who we are in God, then we are in control. And the job doesn't control us.
Yeah, you know, and I love it that you say light after layoff. Now, before we deal with those seven keys, I love the word resilience. I mean, I don't use that word a lot. What does that mean? And why did you choose that word?
You know, that is such a great question. Okay. I actually had someone ask me to come and speak, and they asked me to come and speak on resilience. And at the time, I said, okay, I never had anybody approach me with that word either. And so when I got ready to put together the presentation, I went into prayer and meditation, and I heard specifically God said, you're already writing about resilience in your book. At the time, I didn't put the word resilience in there. Okay. And when I looked at the material and I had, and I looked at resilience and what it meant, I said, wow, this is a way, putting resilience in there is a way to start the conversation about spirituality. So that's how the connection got made. Now, I define resilience as exercising the courage to move through fear in the face of temporary oppression, opposition, loss, or hardship.
Ooh, I love that.
That's my definition.
Very powerful.
But when I was doing my research, when I was about to give that presentation, I was finding that no two organizations or individuals actually had the same definition of resilience. And so that prompted me to say, well, I can make up my own definition, and so can the people that I speak to. So I'm on a mission actually to collect different people's definitions of resilience, because I think it means something different to everyone. Sometimes when I go and speak, I'll ask people in the audience. One guy told me, he said his definition of resilience was surviving Enron. Another lady said she defines it as the ability to just stand.
Yeah, I love that.
And one other lady told me that it was not being mediocre. Now, all of these are perfectly brilliant definitions of resilience. We can all define it for ourselves, but again, I define it as exercising the courage to move through fear thoughts, through fear in the face of temporary oppression, opposition, loss, and hardship.
Okay, let's get going with these seven keys because we want to give our listeners some meat that they can really take. Key number one is what?
Key number one. Now, I want listeners to know that I am taking the word resilience throughout the book, mm-hmm. and I'm playing a word game because I like word games. So I had to make it fun for me.
Okay.
So if you take the word resilience and you play a word game and you see how many words you can find using those letters. I found 7 words within the word resilience to illustrate these keys. Okay, so that's kind of how I'm taking the approach to this. Okay, so the first word that I found within resilience is the word license. So the first key is use your spiritual license. Know who you are. So that's what I delve into chapter one.
So what do you mean know who you are? How does that, what does that mean when somebody is in the middle of, wow, I'm being laid off, or I don't know what my next career move is going to be?
So the first thing that I say is, first you have to realize who you are not. Okay? You are not the job that you just lost. You are not your bank account balance, positive or negative. You are not that title that was on your business card. You're not your house. You are not your car. You are not your grief. You are not your depression. You are not this situation. So I have to help people to understand who they are not first, because mm-hmm. they've been identifying with this thing that is outside of them. Okay. Which has really become kind of an idol. Okay. So that's what I mean. First, we have to delve and discover who you are, who you are not. So that's the first thing.
Well, I want to make a comment here because, you know, especially with males, I mean, our identity is so tied into our work. I mean, we spend more time many times on our jobs than we do with our families. And our work and our colleagues many times become our families, and our identity is so tied to that. So when that's taken away, I'm sure that's very shocking for people. And when that's taken away, it impacts your lifestyle. I mean, I had one man tell me, Constance, just the routine of me getting up every day, having a cup of coffee, driving to work, you know, so many things are impacted, you know, when people are in the middle of career transition. So they need to know who they are.
Absolutely. I talk to people every day as a career transition coach who are impacted by this. And I like that you said specifically men, because I work with a lot of men, and it is so hard for them when they're going through this, because they're used to being a primary breadwinner in a lot of cases. And again, when you take that away, like you said, they don't know who they are. They're struggling, and they've never had to actually take a pause and consider who they might be from a spiritual perspective. Now, I call this, I try to use the analogy of forced rest and recovery. So if you're an athlete and you are training 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you are not going to be good when it comes to competing, because a good coach knows that they have to have that athlete rest and recover for a period of time in order for that athlete to be at maximum capacity and to compete at a high level. Sometimes I liken this break of a layoff to a forced rest and recovery. It is necessary for you to have this break in order for you to be at peak performance. And, you know, I was listening to one of your shows with Will Downing, and he was saying that he was sick for a year or two, flat on his back, where he had to be forced to sit there and hear from God. And when I heard that, I said, wow, he was in a forced rest and recovery period. And when he came out of that, now he's coming out better than ever. All kinds of ideas. He was talking about an idea for the album that he has out with doing cover songs that women, famous women had right. sung. But I think that was a great example. And a lot of people, they don't look at it like that. But really, when we are still, we can really hear from God. God can speak to us. God can give us those ideas. So
Okay.
I may have got off on a tangent on
Well,
that.
that's okay. And so I want to inject here. You don't have to be on put on your back for 18 months like Will was.
No.
If you are still and quiet and can hear from God. Let's go to key number two, change your thinking. I just love this one because our thinking is so powerful. So how does someone who is in the middle of career transition, how is our thinking supposed to look? What would that look like?
So the key number two, yes, change your thinking. And when I use the word resilience, the word I found within resilience was lies. Identify the lies from the truth. So this is when we come to that lesson that a lot of your listeners have already heard many times, identifying the voice of the ego versus the voice of God within you. We have two thought systems. One thought system is based on fear. I try to make this simple. One thought system is based on fear. One is based on love. They are in opposition of each other. They cannot communicate with each other. So I have to help my clients to be able to identify the voice of fear versus the voice of God within them. So I give them some characteristics of this voice, which I call the ego. And to be clear, the ego is that part of the mind that believes that it is separate from God. I heard Wayne Dyer say once that if your mind was the ocean, the ego would believe it is a separate wave unto itself.
Mm. I love that.
It's that part that I try to get them to identify. And the way that I do that is I give them some characteristics of the ego. So, you know, you constantly have this mind chatter going on, right? And the ego's voice is usually that voice that speaks loudest and speaks first. And it's that voice that's dwelling on something that happened in the past or something that might happen in the future. So it's that voice that's telling you, it was your fault that you got laid off. You weren't good enough. You're not smart enough. Nobody wants you. You'll never find a job again. Oh, and by the way, the mortgage is due. Mortgage is going to be due in 6 months. You only have 6 months worth of money. What are you going to do in 6 months?
Are you too old to get rehired?
That's a whole class that we teach.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Definitely you're too old. Definitely you're too. I just had this conversation yesterday with someone. You know, she was saying she's almost 60. What is she going to do? That is nothing but the ego telling her that she, again, it always boils down to fear and you're not good enough. So identifying that voice is so key. I could go on and on about
okay,
that.
So should they think that this is a new time for me? This is a new opportunity for me. I'm growing in my faith. I'm going into uncharted territory. So should they monitor their thinking during this process of their career transition?
Absolutely. Okay. First I want them to just get to the point where they have accepted it. So sometimes people, you know, you just need to be still for a minute and go through these stages of grief. But when they're ready and they're ready to get back up, once that initial shock is over, they begin to see on their own, this is amazing. I am really having a good time here. I'm able to spend some time with God. I'm able to spend some time with my family. I like to get them to see that it is definitely an opportunity for a new beginning. Even if you try to use the age thing, hey, I'm older. Okay, there's so much wisdom that you have that you can offer another company or that you can use to start another business that somebody that's 25 years old doesn't have. You are unique. You have amazing skills. So yes, it is definitely again, a forced rest and recovery
okay.
for a lot of people so that they can understand who they are again in God, and God is going to give them those directions as well.
Okay, we're going to get through these seven keys. Okay, next one, got to talk about this one. Be still. Wow, that's so powerful. I always have a quote that says there's profit in stillness. So what about key number three?
Yes, yes, key number three. And again, using the word resilience, I found the word silence within the word resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to experience that silence. So this is where we create the daily spiritual practice, which for me, you know, a daily spiritual practice is getting up, doing my prayer, doing my meditation, doing some inspirational reading, doing some form of exercise. I call that a daily spiritual practice. And I give people examples of that in the book. But it's just what I do. You know, I encourage people to create their own daily spiritual practice. But again, taking that time to tithe a portion of your time to God. If you just set the time aside with the intention of communing with God, that's the point I want to drive home.
Right. And you know, the interesting thing is there is profit in stillness. So that means that when people are laid off or in the middle of career transition, if you'll be still, I mean, who knows what kind of idea will be dropped down into your spirit, because God is always speaking. But many times, because we aren't still and we're busy, 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 we aren't hearing. So that's powerful for listeners. And I would say it's a learned skill that will bring profit into the lives of anyone who's in the middle of career transition. Okay, I love key number four, forgive and release. And when I saw that, I know so many people who they're just mad at their employer. I was there and I was faithful and I was loyal and they just laid me off, or how could they do that? I've been downsized. So tell us about key number four, forgive and release.
Okay, yes. Again, so using the word resilience, I found the word sincere. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying develop a sincere desire to let go. And that's all about forgiveness and releasing. And I, you know, I have a couple of stories in this particular chapter where people have, you know, definitely been let go in ways that are not good. I mean, and I talk to people constantly that have been laid off in ways that you wouldn't even believe, Constance. People that have worked at some of these companies 20, 25 years, and sometimes they get let go with a recording.
Yeah.
Not even a real person tells them that they have lost their job, or they get it on a recording. Just very sad situations. However, so we talk about that. And I talk about forgiveness, being able to release this. And I also tell a story in this chapter, which I'll share with you. This is actually my own personal story. I actually had this happen to me, where I had a situation in corporate America, and I was working with a lady who she was, you know, she was kind of on the manipulative side, and you know, a lot of people didn't like her. Nobody wanted to work with her. And she did some things which caused a scandal at the company that I was working for at the time. And she actually put my name in the middle of this whole scandal. Okay. And so when I found out and I spoke up, it just ignited, it just went crazy in the company. So all of this was a backdrop for me not liking this lady. I did not like her. You know, I was starting to have nightmares, you know, and it was starting to go it was just starting to affect me on so many levels, health wise, rest wise. How could this person betray me like this? Or my job. Okay. So being a spiritual person, I didn't know what else to do but to pray. So in my prayer time, I started to say, okay, God, I don't like this lady, and you're going to have to help me. Amen. I believe that's all God needs for you to do, is just be willing to let it go. And that started something. I began to pray like that every day. I began to pray for my attitude. Every day, little by little by little. And I began to pray for this lady. And one day I remember kneeling at the side of my couch, and I was praying again, and I saw a vision of this lady who had started all of this trouble. I saw a vision of her when she was 5 years old. She was being abused by her father, and she was being abused by people at her school. She was completely abused everywhere she went, which then gave me insight as to why she was a grown-up bully. But I got that in my prayer time. For praying for my own attitude, I got insight about the situation, which then caused compassion to enter into my heart, which ultimately led me to be able to forgive her and release the situation. And when that happened, this person was actually released from the company.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect me. You know, it was like when I let it go, when I was able to let it go through prayer, through praying for somebody else, then we were able to, I was able to move forward.
Okay, let me just inject something quickly. You know, I just want to say to listeners that, you know, anytime you feel like, boy, you've been loyal and then you've been betrayed, you really need to pray. And that's the Holy Spirit, or you may not believe in the Holy Spirit, praying that's God, your higher power, infinite intelligence, whatever you believe in, to help you to release that, because obviously that wasn't your highest good. Now, that's easy for me to say, but I'm just simply saying that when you forgive and release, that opens the door to miracles. I just want to inject that. Okay, Dawn, yep. We got 10 minutes really quickly. Detox, what does that mean?
Okay. Yes.
Key number five.
Key number five, in resilience, I found the word sincere. Develop a, we did sincere. I'm sorry. Screen is the next key. Screen your environment for toxins. Oh my goodness. You have to be able to let go of those people around you that are not helping you to reach your highest good. I talk about, you know, hanging around with eagles versus hanging around with chickens. You know, you want to be around people who are going to lift you up and help you through instead of pulling you down. You got to also guard your eye gates during this time. If you've been let go and you're filling up on constantly negative news, and you're listening to things on the radio that are bringing you down, and you're watching trash TV, things that are rooted in fear, is not going to help you to reach your highest good. So for detoxing, you need to screen your environment. What kind of people are you hanging around? What kind of music are you listening to? So we just go into depth on how to do that.
Okay. And then lastly, gratitude.
Well, that's next to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
next to the last one, right?
Yeah.
I don't have my contacts in. Keep going.
It's okay. Go ahead. So in the word resilience, that's the word nice. I say be nice to yourself and others. During this time of being laid off, a lot of times people think that they don't have anything to give. And I think that that can't be further from the truth. Now is your time to definitely count your blessings. Keep in your gratitude journal. You have so much. A lot of people just, you know, they're listening to their ego tell them that they don't have anything, but you have your health and strength. In most cases, people have their health and strength, and they're able, what I try to help them to see is that they have a gift. And if they can go and give that gift through volunteering, through helping other people, helping people in their family, it actually opens the door for miracles as well. Because when you're actually giving something, giving your gift away, you will meet people in doing that that can actually help you find your next opportunity.
Nothing but the truth. I know so many people who've gotten, just by volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, they were hanging around some people. They might have been working right next to a VP of a major corporation, and they were employed. So just getting out of the house and taking a look at what do you have left and be grateful for that. And then the final word is key number 7.
Yes, yeah. Embrace your light. And using the word resilience, I found the word rise. So I just say rise up and embrace your light and just realize that you are enough. You are enough. And, you know, just being able to then give that back to other people. When you read all the 7 keys in Light After Layoff, it will definitely help you to be able to find your light and to be able to move forward after you've been faced with this challenge.
Well, you know, Don, it's a very powerful book, and you guys are going to have to really get it. So explain more about what a corporate coach is, which is what you are, what your services are, and about your website and when your book will be coming out. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely it's a lot. So the name of my business is The Corporate Couch, and I do inspirational speaking. I do coaching. I also do consulting for businesses. So if your corporation, any of your listeners out there, wants to have a speaker come in and speak about resilience, please give me a call. You can call me at 832-523-8882. That's my phone number. My website is www.thecorporatecouch.com. And you can also find me on Facebook at I Am Dawn Mitchell. I have a Facebook fan page, The Corporate Couch. So any of those ways work. The book, which is called Light After a Layoff, 7 Spiritual Keys to Strengthen Resilience in the Midst of Job Loss, Career Transition, or Professional Setback, will be available in September. It'll actually be available sometime next month. We want to give a couple extra weeks.
Right.
You'll be able to find it on my website as well. You can go to thecorporatecouch.com. You can pre-order it right now if you like.
Well, it's a great book. And Don, I just love the way you're very detailed. And so for listeners, I mean, she has lots of how-tos. I'm big on how-tos. And she has lots of how-tos and lots of exercises and lots of examples. And the last thing that you want to do is be by yourself and isolate yourself when you're going through a career transition. You have lots of stories. And I just love that, because it's not enough for people to know what they want to know, how can I take the information that's in this book and really implement it in my life? And Don, I want to say, because we are body, soul, and spirit, you know, I get all kind of emails with people wanting to come on my show and just talk about career transition, but I chose you and your book because it's spiritually based, and I think that's so important. And one thing I forgot to mention is, do you have a I Am Resilient movement going on? What's up with that, and what is that about?
Yes, I did start the I Am Resilient movement to go along with this book. Mm-hmm. And you can actually find out more information by going to our Facebook group. I have a Facebook group, and all you have to do is type in I Am Resilient, the movement, and it will come up, and I will approve you to join that group where I share these keys, and the members, we all encourage one another. Again, I want you to know, I want everybody to know, if you're going through, no matter what you're going through, whether it be a job loss or any other kind of loss, you are not alone. And that's why I created this group. So, and again, I'm also collecting different definitions of resilience. And eventually I'll have them on a website where people can log in. And when they're feeling low, they can log in, check out that website, and know that they are not alone. So that was the purpose of that.
Well, Dawn Mitchell, you are a powerful woman, and we're just so grateful to have you on the show speaking into the lives of millions of listeners all over the world. And I believe that your message and your book will change the lives of people all over the globe. And I'm just so grateful to God for you coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. And if I could just say one more thing, if anybody wants to just reach out, I forgot to give my email address. It's dawn@thecorporatecouch.com.
That's D-A-W-N, everybody, all of my international listeners. So thank you so much, Dawn. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. You know, email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And, of course, my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And as I say every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, always remember this: God loves you more deeply than you can even comprehend. You know that I'm crazy about you, and you're my family, and I love you. And always remember this: the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. To you.